Coolant leak. Coolant leak. We've got a coolant leak. I was going to do a soundbite, but there's too much background audio. So that's your soundbite. Welcome to another edition of Strange New Pod. I'm your Fleet Admiral and host, Julian Brown, alongside the best bridge crew. This side of Geordi's penchant for a warp core, but not with women. Vice Admiral Eric is here.
Savage.
I had to be. I'm sorry. Vice Admiral Eric is here, and all he wants is a Geordi Scotty buddy cop show. Yeah, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, the coolant leak happened in Generations. He just, like, the Enterprise blew up. Commander Hawk is here, ready to buy an Apple Vision headset after watching Interface. I don't know.
Are you?
It's like $3,400 here.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot more than that in Canada.
I think I double that over here. But yeah.
Oh, Giraffe, you're already getting love for your tea. Should.
Can I show it? Yeah. Wait. It's better than a reading rainbow tea. Look at this.
That's awesome. Read banned books, baby. That's right.
Yeah.
Sweden Lever Burton says, read banned books.
That's right. That's right. And of course, as you can see in her amazing read banned books, LeVar shirt, Subcommander Giraffe is here. And the enemy has become her enemy, apparently.
That's not true.
Just because of all the shit that you caught for it.
Yeah.
Eric's doing things. Oh, he got his... Amazing. Wait, Eric, you're not going to wear that the entire show?
I didn't make it the right... My head is fucking big. Damn. So, that's you know.
Eric's here...
Yeah, you said the knee already.
Yeah, no, I know. Eric's here. Hawk's here. Giraffe's here. Geordi Bears are here. We're ready to do this thing.
You have your thumbs up.
I did. Wait. What if I do this? No fireworks?
I turned mine off.
Ah, oh, damn it. That's too bad. No, not happening. Not happening. We tried. How we doing, guys? How goes things? Good?
Oh, man. I was energetic like 10 minutes ago and...
I don't think Giraffe's getting the shade.
She didn't get that.
Didn't get the shade. Woohoo!
It's okay.
Oh, man. It's okay.
I'm tired. I literally just arrived from work and sat down, and they were like, we're going for a show. And I was like, oh, my God.
As far as Canada, we're being punished for our hubris. We spent half the month on that enjoying warm weather and no snow. And now we got hammered today.
It's because we were making fun of Giraffe's rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then.
It all comes,
we're just gonna
around.
Fuck you with snow.
Yep.
Not raining here anymore. We finally have the sun back.
Because the snow came back.
It can't rain all the time.
Oh, okay, Crow. Thanks. Eric Summers is requesting a baby bear, so I'm sorry if this hurts my co-host ears, but I'll do it. Baby bear! There it is. This week it is our Best of Geordi episode. Why are we doing Best of Geordi randomly? Well, tomorrow is LeVar Burton's birthday. And what better way to celebrate both him and a great Black History Month celebration, because he is an iconic Black character on TV and just a legend. And we can't wait to talk about him. So from his early days as the Enterprise's helmsman to becoming the chief engineer after like six of them failed in one season. of the flagship. We're going to talk about our favorite Geordi episodes and not like, you know, off of a list. These are our favorite Geordi episodes, which I think is a much better way to do these things. And honorable mentions, the movies, all that fun stuff. But first, I'm putting you right into the fire, Giraffe. It is your turn. You need to thank. I knew it. We need to thank
our patron
collective members at the Ready Room level and above, please. Yes.
Wait, you know, I read the outline.
You did because you texted me because I'm starting the pod with hot takes later. Yeah. Yep.
So please. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, dear patron. It's written Hawk.
Yeah, but above that, I see Giraffe.
That's because I copy pasted. I messed that up, but it is actually Giraffe.
I did it last week.
Do it together.
Excuses.
Oh my God! Do it together. Do it one.
No,
you do one,
absolutely
and then you
not.
Do one.
That won't get confusing at all.
Thank you, dear patrons. Without you, we would not be here tonight. Thank you, Simon Steger, Jeff Reeve, Mariah Gossett, Tallulah, Jen Stein, Tina Alexander, Joe Saporito, Noe Santos, Kung Hui, Takako Nagumo, Bernadette Nogales, SMK, Laura Linderman, Colin Davidson, Jesco, Michael Graham, Emilian Travis, Gildera, Cassie, Spot, Magulai, Tyrannil, Wayne Ritz, Scott of Arc, Sean, Jay Howard, Anna Yurdadon, Mahalani Uchiyama, Matt Harker, Davey Willett, Star Polen, Slope 74, Wood Berkey, Joshua Miller, Adam Sanders, Iris Spagin, Linky Guy, Aaron Waldke, Carl Engoli, Michael Kwan, Mir, comma, Caitlin, Elizabeth Dean, Jim McMahon, ADHD EC, Sedano 317, Puka Hair, Free Fry Short, Puka Hair again. Got TV, Tripping the Read Alert of our Pineapple, Sean Manning, Congressional Best Baseball Fan, Chris Waterman, RHCB, Martin Simpson, Seven Rasmussen, Anna F., Norman Buckwald, and our newest collective member, David Prime Hildebrand.
Woo woo!
And thank you to our bad murals also.
Do you know them by heart, Giraffe? I'm putting you on the spot. Who are our bad murals?
Well, I know a lot of like names on Discord.
So that's the best way to do it.
That's the best way to do it. Do it.
So there's Chris. I know that.
I wish I had a ding.
What?
A ding button.
Ding.
Like, ding.
Oh, ding. There's Tara.
Ding.
Ernesto.
Oh, Ernesto. Ding. Yes, Ernesto. Ding. And Gentle Giant.
Ding.
There's one more.
Simon.
Oh, Simon. Simon. Yeah.
Ding. Hey, you did good.
Sorry. Yes.
Good job. You did good. Bad rolls. You rock. You keep the lights on and the replicator is running. We love you. Some news.
What? Wait, draft. So a couple years ago, I got this awesome action figure in the mail from someone. And I have an issue taking things out of packaging. So I just sort of left it in here. It's from Draft. Jordy.
It's not from me.
It was from you.
It was from me?
Yeah, it was from you.
Oh, I'm so confused. The plot really? Thickens.
Yes!
I don't remember it.
You sent that to me like 3 years ago.
That's how long we've been doing this show now.
Oh my God. I think Giraffe sends out a lot of little gifts to people and that and hard to keep track.
Yeah, because usually I like when I don't send things to Canada because it's super expensive.
Mm-hmm. I got that and that little cross stitch.
Yeah. Damn, I totally forgot about this. Yeah, I do give a lot of things, random things to people, to be honest, except Julian.
Ouch. God damn.
But you've met him, so.
And she does exactly. Give me random no, shit. What are you talking about?
Yeah, every time I see him, I give him random shit.
You know
shit.
Who does give us you random things? Our sponsor.
Wow.
I thought we were going to go down the list.
I like that. That's good. Eric, who is our sponsor?
We're Heroes and Villains. We're very hype here.
And they have a lot of amazing gear, not just Star Trek, but also many other things. But that amazing... Is that from the motion picture?
I think it's a storyboard from the motion picture. It's the storyboard board shirt that Heroes and Villains.
Oh, that's cool.
It does look really familiar. Yeah. And if you're a first-time purchaser over at Heroes and Villains and use the code STRANGE, you get 20% off. If you're in the States.
Hey, that's pretty awesome. I like that deal. You should use it. You should use it.
They are very good bags. I will say it over and over again. Give me a Star Trek bag.
Their jackets are very nice and comfy.
Jackets are very nice. Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
So we did Heroes and Villains. Disco, people. The complete series rewatch on our Discord starts tomorrow. We're watching three episodes. We're doing a movie. It's that would be like a disco movie. We're watching Vulcan Hello, Battle of Binary Stars, and Context is for Kings. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Come hear me complain that holograms cannot sit on furniture that they cannot see.
Yeah, well, that's another thing.
What if there was a projected hologram chair underneath it?
Hey. Yeah.
No, I don't buy this.
No. We're going to start those at 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night, so we're not up till midnight. Sorry, Draft. I know. You never come for watch-alongs anyway.
But because it's too early.
I know. I'm sorry. You should do the West Coast run afterwards.
Yeah, I'm cool doing a... Okay, listen to this, everybody. I'm cool doing a West Coast run, but I think this is only me. So
see if there's interest. You should see. You want to
watch it with me later. Yeah,
there you go. We also got the big news. April 4th is the season 5 premiere, but it's not just one episode. Double episode premiere, so that's going to be like a 4-hour pod episode. It'll be fun because we went 2 hours talking about the first two episodes of Lower Decks, and those are like 24
minutes. There's
gonna
be a lot of me crying. I'm gonna tell you that.
There's gonna be a lot of Draft crying.
We went 2 hours talking about Tuvix last week, so
yeah,
I mean,
but
that's very,
yeah, I think that's fair. We've gone 2 hours on things we shouldn't have gone 2 hours on though before, so I don't know. Hi, Jenny. Hello, Jenny says, hey,
Jenny.
Yeah, hello. Jenny, what's going on? Let's get to the Strange New Loop, folks, unless anybody else has news that I may have missed. I don't think I did. Giraffe, you had your podcast already.
It was fun. Thank you to everybody who came.
It was fun.
There was a lot of people.
Killed it. It was a lot of fun. Strange New Loop, let's do it. So, I like this one this week. If you could write and produce a Geordi short trek, what would your episode be about? YouTube Collective, let us know as well in the chat, please. Eric, I saw his hand first. Go ahead.
Oh, I would love... when he was on TNG, he was very precise. He knew what he had to do, right? Yeah. He's an engineer. He had to sort of sort things out. He had to have a plan for everything. I want to see his first couple days of being a parent.
Oh.
Having a kid. Because there is no plan that you will ever follow.
That would be a great
short chaos.
Track.
I was going to say the same thing. I want to see him being a girl dad, because he's a girl dad, and
yeah,
I think we didn't get to see him a lot in this position. He was not portrayed like a girl's dad. We know girl's dad. Look at Eric.
He sort of does though. Like there's the overprotectiveness that he had for his daughters. Like I understand the girl dad thing.
But because Eric already said that, I actually want to see a day in Geordi's life working at the museum.
Oh, that would be epic.
Ooh, yes.
And I want it to be like Charlie's work. Have you watched that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that has like this giant take of like 10 minutes of that Charlie that goes?
My favorite episode, not him waiting for the health inspector.
Yes, it's an incredible episode because it's like a guy was trying to fix everything around him and everything is like falling apart and he's also a dumbass, which is not Geordi's case, but I want to see him. I want a day of like Geordi trying to prep the museum for a giant exhibit around Voyager and I don't know.
Just like everything's going wrong, and
I want to see. Okay, you know that episode, the Tuvix, the episode of Lower Decks. So I want to see. Imagine the Voyager is actually going to Dad Museum with Geordi, and I want him trying to solve problems and running around, and it's just a day. Geordi's work.
I love it.
Geordi's work.
I love it.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about that? Correct me if I'm wrong. LeVar can sing, right?
No.
Yes. I think he did on Reading
Rainbow.
Because
I know what he's going to say, so I say
you don't know what I'm going to say. And even if
musical?
You do, yeah, but not like musical. I guess it is a musical, but I don't fucking care. Like Willy Wonka style, like taking the kids around the chocolate factory, right? And like one of them gets stuck
killing
in
the
warp core, and like an Oompa Loompa comes
they
up.
They live.
Oh my god! Imagine like or Binars instead of Oompa Loompas, like Binars come out. Like when a kid gets stuck in the warp core, that would be amazing.
That would be a great Lower Decks episode.
It would.
Yeah.
It would. I just totally harped on your idea, Giraffe, and made it my own.
I have another idea, but I'm waiting for Hawk first.
Go ahead,
maybe
Hawk.
That's his idea.
Okay. What I'd love to see for a short trek of Geordi would be the process he went through in that to remake the Enterprise D, like one of those kind of like flashback behind the scenes kind of thing in that, like what he went through, did you know how they got it together? Did he go back and like recover like the disc from Generations?
Well, what's cool about that is the Roddenberry Foundation did that short that I think is available now. Speaking of Apple Vision, they have that app on Apple Vision now. They show the effort. Have you not seen this, Hawk?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah, go look it up on YouTube. Yeah.
Of them raising the saucer section from Viridian 3. It is amazing. And it is a story. Like I would imagine this is Geordi's pet project.
Hawk is Googling already.
This is Geordi's pet project, me, right? Oh, you haven't seen it either? It's so good.
So you know how I saw it?
Hold on.
Because like on Sunday I was on the view screen and talked about it. So I went and looked at it after that.
Why did they make this?
So the Roddenberry Foundation is basically like creating for like sets, virtual reality, like virtual sets for Apple Vision. So people can like, people want to be able to walk on those sets and see them. And like, that's a really cool way to be able to do it.
I thought they were just doing it to archive the.
They are, yeah, but they also decided to do it with that app. Which makes me want to get Apple Vision alone for that.
And don't get, if you don't, get this don't one, want to spend that much money, you can go to Ticonderoga and walk the actual sets.
Yeah. I imagine, Hawk, that he was on the ground during
that. Yeah, probably supervising the effort, right?
Yeah.
All right, my other ID is that, is anybody watch the episode of Finding Your Roots with Lever Burton on PBS?
No, I want to watch that though. I really do want to watch it.
I want that episode with Geordi, and I want to learn, you know, who was his ancestors and like how he knows. Like, I don't know, maybe there was like, you know, somebody in Starfleet at the beginning or things like this. I want to see like a mockumentary.
It'd be amazing if he went all the way back to LeVar Burton.
Something like that. Something like that. It's a very good episode. You should definitely watch it.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. Let's see what's going on in the chat. We have Eric Summers' Night at the Starfleet Museum going on, what Giraffe was saying. That would be awesome. Tara writes, his wedding, who is his wife? Who is the mom of the kids? Yes, 100%. Would love to see that. Eric agrees. Geordi,
I hope it's nobody we know.
I agree. CBF, Geordi fixing coolant leaks on one ship after another, like a day in the life kind of thing. That would be awesome. The exhibits come to life. You wrote, Eric. That's really funny. Geordi's life, dramedy edition, Jenny says, like that. I feel like this will happen in Lower Decks. I'm putting it into the ether. Matt Harker writes, I want a crossover of Rutherford meeting Geordi at the Fleet Museum. Or just meeting Geordi. Like, that would be awesome. Rutherford would probably meet Geordi before he's Commodore. Like, he's probably, Geordi's a captain. No, at this point, Geordi is probably maybe even a commander or still a captain during Lower Decks or becoming a captain.
But he's already a commander in TNG.
He's a lieutenant commander in TNG and then I think full commander in the movies, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think by the end of TNG, isn't he already a commander?
No, he's still lieutenant commander at the end of season 7.
Yeah.
Geordi and Janeway touring the Voyager after its Broughton Museum. That would be awesome. That's from Kang. Oh god, we almost got Julian's browser history. It wouldn't be that exciting, guys. I promise.
Nice.
Shut the fuck up, Draft. Matt writes the saucer's Independence Day big. It looks like that in the video, but the saucer's actually not as big, I don't think, as an Independence Day.
Cannot be as big as the saucer in like, what was it, in Beyond?
Oh, God.
Giant saucer.
My strange new loop, and I've decided, I actually, before the pod, decided to almost start writing it, because I think I'm just going to write a short little, like, fic like I did for Spock talking to Ezzet Bor, the one I wrote, you could find on AO3, by the way. I would love to see...
We're never going through that podcast today. So many side notes.
I would like a short trek of Geordi getting the order to go track down Harry and Chakotay. And
Timeless.
Yes. Because In my head, I'd like to imagine that in that universe, Jean-Luc is still like an active admiral, and like what the consequences would be of like him maybe getting that order from Jean-Luc and him having a very candid conversation. Like, Jean-Luc, if we were in their position, we would do the same thing, which Geordi does say to Chakotay and Harry during the episode. Like, I would love that conversation between him and Jean-Luc, and then having to talk to his crew about the fact that like orders are orders. We maybe don't want to do this, but this is something we have to do, and we'll stop them by any means necessary. Like, I think that would be a really cool short track. And like, it could have just been like a great deleted scene in the episode, but that's what I would do. I would like that short track. So, yeah. Should we get into the best of Geordi and a little bit of Geordi background? Giraffe's ready for this. Yeah. So LeVar Burton as Geordi LaForge. So Gene's vision, Gene Roddenberry, wanted to have a disabled crew member on the bridge for Next Generation. And David Gerald proposed a number of different options, with Gene choosing blindness or vision impairment for Geordi. And then thank the maker for Gerald also, who was basically like, we don't have any black people on this crew. And Gene was like, yeah, okay. So they interviewed Tim Russ, Wesley Snipes, or auditioned them. They were considered. LeVar.
Wesley Snipes.
Blows
in an alternate universe.
Right?
Wesley
I would love
Snipes.
To see Wesley Snipes with the visor. Reggie would Jackson mean, also was considered.
If Wesley Snipes was Geordi, would that mean that LeVar Burton would become Blade?
Oh, my God.
Motherfucker, are you kidding me? That's like my favorite line from Blade when they shoot him. Imagine LeVar saying that. Oh my God, that'd be crazy.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. So eventually LeVar got the role. Thoughts on the importance of having Geordi both have a disability and be black, kind of continuing the tradition that Uhura started on TOS. Giraffe, we're just going to go in the same order that we have for the episode tonight. So Giraffe, you first.
Oh, I'm going first?
Yeah, because we have... I'm just going by the order that we have.
I mean, it's 1987, so I'm already kind of, like, baffled that they thought of inclusion.
right.
You know, I'm not gonna bitch, you know? But I'm like, it's really like, okay, you know, we're not gonna have one gay person, one black person, right, and one disabled person. Like, you know? It's like, let's just, like, mash up all the visible minorities in one person. But on the other hand, I always complain about the same things, I know, but I think it's great when shows actually show, like, work on being transsexual, that you know, you can be complex, you can be part of different groups, and you know, if you're black and trans, for example, or black and disabled, you don't face the same issues than people who are white and disabled, or white and trans, or you know, like, it's, I think in America there's a lot of work to do on transactionality, because it's very often forgotten. Like, I see a lot of white women feminists and ignoring the fact that when you're a black woman, you have more, you know, more struggles, like struggles that are different, just, and that cannot be solved in the same way than white women are solving their struggles. So I do think it's important, but at the same time, I don't feel TNG did it for these reasons.
Right.
So retrospectively in 2023, I am like, this is great, but at the same time, I don't feel Star Trek is any way, I don't feel Star Trek in 87 was really trying to say anything about that. I do think that now Geordi is a very important figure for a lot of people, in different ways, and that's very important. And the fact that, you know, LeVar Burton is also an amazing human is also helping a lot. And I don't think there's a lot of shows, Star Trek franchise now, that are actually talking about transsexuality like this way, you know, like, except Discovery, which is gonna be in their final season. So yeah, Like, for example, let's take Rafi.
Yep.
Like a black lesbian woman, you know, gay woman. But that's never like, that's never the point. Which, yeah. In one hand, I really like it because I like characters being themselves and not being here just for representation. On the other hand, sometimes I feel that there's a lot of like performativeness, in the choice of characters. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have a precise answer to your question.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
But yeah, there's always room to do better. Let's say that. But 1987 Star Trek.
Yeah.
They were just trying to like
check off that list.
Check out some boxes.
Yeah. Especially based on that quote you just said, Julian.
Well, right. Like Dave Gerald was just like, dude, like what's going on? I'm sure there were people who are like, why is there no representation on the show? I don't think it was obviously I agree with Draft. I don't think Gene was
and it's intersectionality, not transsectionality. I don't know. It's a transsectionality. Anyway, I don't speak English. Sorry about that, but you know what I mean. But another thing that I would add, it would have been great to actually cast an actor that is deserving. But you know, again, 1987
they didn't
Star
do
Trek.
That back then.
No, they definitely didn't.
Yeah. Not even on regular TV, no. Like network TV.
But yeah, you know.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, they had issues casting people with disabilities up until the last couple years. I feel.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
That being said, I agree with everything Draft said. But not taking it away, like his being on the show was very important to a lot of people. Yep. Like I know that
1,000%.
Like I know that he's my dad's favorite character as well. So it was nice seeing he dresses up like Geordi every year.
Aww.
For Halloween, which I think is hilarious.
It's so cute.
Yeah, yeah. And like it's nice knowing people that have gone into engineering because of Geordi. Is it because they had to check off some boxes back in 87? It sounds like it, which is unfortunate. Did they get an amazing person like Draft said? Yeah. Like as a kid growing up, like we knew him from Reading Rainbow and the fact that we got to see him on TNG and you're like, holy fuck, he's even cooler than just telling me to read books, which I wish was still on TV. It is amazing. It is unfortunate. Like, you look at TOS and they had a black woman on the bridge and you had an Asian man on the bridge. And then in TNG, you just got Geordi he's blind. So were they checking boxes back in the 60s as well? I don't know.
I think there's a difference in TOS. Sorry, Hawk.
That's okay. Go on.
I think there's a difference in TOS where it was really a representation of the future that they wanted to see with a Russian guy on the bridge, you know, a black woman.
Yeah.
Because black men were already not a lot on screen, but a black woman, like, you know, so I think there was that was the whole show that really wanted to tackle these questions in a country that was still segregated for a lot of places, you know, but then in 87, we're also like end of the 80s. I mean, you remember, like, we had solved everything. Like,
it's true. It felt like that, yeah.
Like, there was a hole in the ozone layer, but everything was great. We were fantastic. Everybody was on coke, also. That's why everything was fantastic, I suppose. But, like,
well, everybody also thought, like, that they were going to get fucking nuked, like, at any moment, too, you know?
That's true.
That's true. But I do think that they didn't have to tick these boxes.
That's true.
In 87. But they still tried. There was a lot of women. They were like men in skirts.
Yeah.
That I really... Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And it's not something that they hid. They kept on doing it every season. It was great.
Yep.
I think I'm done. Go Hawk.
They actually considered Wesley Snipes. I can't get past that right now.
According to Memory Alpha, take that with a grain of salt. But
no, yeah, they did. I feel like that
sounded familiar when I read it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They could not have come across a better actor than LeVar Burton in that, not just Reading Rainbow and that. He was very involved
Roots.
In
Roots.
Yeah, Roots. Yep. But also like with Rebop, which was another television series, and that he hosted the final season of that. So
what show?
It's called Rebop, REBOP. ran from 76 to 79. LeVar Burton was the host of the final season.
Yeah.
Quincy Jones did the title song?
Yep.
Damn.
Yep. So as far as, like, you know, an actor who could, you know, communicate the image that they wanted for, like, this character, they couldn't have done better than LeVar Burton in that. And yes, it's like it was a struggle for him. I'm sure he fought against a lot of executives in that. We're like, well, we could just cast another white guy in that. But no, they went with him. He hasn't always had the best of luck in storylines. We've seen that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he put up with a lot of garbage over the years and that. But
yeah,
to come out the other end of it as, like, an iconic character in Star Trek and that inspired, like, generations of kids going forward. And it's like, what better legacy do you have than that?
That's the thing for me, right? Like, I you know, we talk about how all the time how Nichelle was so important for so many reasons for Star Trek and, like, women going to STEM and science and, like, NASA and all of that. I think LeVar being on Star Trek was such a big deal because of Reading Rainbow and because of Roots and, like, the familiarity that kids, and I would think especially that shirt's amazing with the visor, and especially probably young black kids, right, who then, like, got to see him, like, on Star Trek. Like, I assume that just had to be huge for them. And I just he's so, you know, he's not just was important that he's so important now for everything going on in our country, right? Like, giraffe shirt, you know, he's such a proponent for that kind of shit, and he's so vocal about it. Like, we need more LeVar Burtons in the world right now. And
he's also very vocal at panels. I've seen him at Los Angeles Comic Con, was it? Yes. And he was, you know, a spotlight on the main stage. And his whole thing was about literacy and what's happening in the country and how people need to be more vocal and all this. Like, he didn't speak about Star Trek. He spoke about Reading Rainbow, and, like, he spoke a little bit about Star Trek, but, like, he uses every single moment he has a platform to, you know, remind people to be active and be part of the society and say no to the things that, you know, are impeding our democracy and our rights of speech. So actually that shirt, I got it because I donated money to an organization that fights reading bans.
When he was so active on social, like, it was so great listening to him talk about, you know, how important literacy is and how important it is to, you know, to converse with people and, like, trying to get them to see your point of view. Like, it was so good. And you can see that he's a good dad because his daughters are the same way. Like, they fight for everything, and it's so awesome to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I just voted against one of these, like, fucking Moms for Liberty people that are trying to, like, win spots on in the government and on, like, school boards, like the book banners and shit. And it's great that they're mostly just getting destroyed by people voting. And honestly, like, I think LeVar is a huge part of that, right? Like, it's, yeah, like, fuck these people.
I don't understand them.
I don't either. He also has I don't know how active it is. I'm going to double check before I say it. It is still very active. He has a great podcast called LeVar.
Oh, yeah.
LeVar Burton Reads. And I highly, highly suggest you download that.
And you can also do, like, he has, like, also book clubs on Fable. So you can, like, subscribe and there's a book and then, like, they talk about the book and so on. I don't have time to read so many books a year, but I would love to as soon as I'm retired and not dead.
That got dark.
Well, you think we're going to retire? I feel like I'm
going to
die.
I'm never going to retire. Are you in PA 140? Yes. Yes, I am. Thank you, Matt. Yes, we voted against that. Don't say it lately, but that crazy fucking bitch. Like, oh my God. Yay, Democrats. That's enough politics. Should we talk about our best of Geordi episodes that we chose? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm up first because we're going in chronological order here. And we're at season one. episode 21, I believe. Not only is this Jordy's first shot at the chair, it's my first memory of Star Trek is this episode, Arsenal of Freedom, which is pretty cool. This episode's great. I chose it because of that very reason. Like, Jordy gets the chair, and yeah, like, during the episode, he gets a little bit intimidated, but he never backs down, right? Because he's dealing with soon-to-be-fired chief engineer, I forget his name, because, you know, he got canned. But that dude was like, I'm the senior officer of this ship. I should take command because, you know, Jean-Luc and Will and everybody are stranded on the planet getting...
Logan.
Yeah, Chief Engineer Logan. That's right. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, and he doesn't back down to him. He's like, I'm in command here, Mr. Logan, and he just does it. And, you know, Deanna's on the bridge and is sensing, like, he's nervous, right? And, like, just one little pep talk, like, really gets him going, and he has to make a really hard decision. He actually leaves the planet for a hot minute, right? Like, he makes a very big command call, and then even then is like, you know what, Logan, you are going to be in command, but you're going to take the saucer. I'm going to separate this ship, and I'm going to go rescue the captain, and you're going to go away because you're pissing me off. I liked how this young Jordy was really, like, just so, like, you knew that one day, just from this moment alone, he was going to be a captain one day, you know? He had it. And the way he was calming down the ensigns that were at Khan and at helm, right? Like, you know, Jordy's just got this very calming demeanor. And, you know, he takes a big risk in this episode, too. You know, he sends the saucer into the planet's atmosphere to try and lure the Echo Papa, the big one that they sent after it. It's a gamble. The ship could have fucking melted, and it works. And what I really love about this episode is the faith that Jean-Luc does first to even put him in command, right? But then at the end of the episode, when they've won, right, and Jean-Luc's like, I believe when I left the ship, Mr. LaForge, it was in one piece, and he lets Jordy stay in command until they reintegrate with the saucer or with the, I meant, yeah. Anyway, I love this episode. I love Jordy in this episode. It was really good. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it before we did the pod, but it's, I don't know. I love this Jordy episode. Thoughts?
I love whenever someone else takes the helm, or not takes the helm, takes the chair, command, and then they just kick ass. Because it shows their mettle. And that's definitely what happened with, I was going to say LeVar, with Jordy. And Jordy's awesome. So, of course, he kicked ass.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I totally had forgotten that it did not start by being the chief engineer. Yeah. And I was like, so very Cisco and Burnham of him to have to become in his position. At least it's season one, right?
Season one. He was young. Okay. He's pretty young. Yeah.
It's okay. He goes in fast. But yeah, it's, you know, this is like this constant like criticism that also every black captain has to earn their like their spot. And I totally had forgotten that he's so much the chief engineer of the Enterprise that I forgot that. Yeah. Totally forgot that. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he's like on the bridge for most of... He does a lot in engineering during season one, but he's on the bridge, I think, for like the entire season. Yeah. But I love this episode. I think that he kicks ass, and I like that tension with Logan, the fact that he basically like banishes him away so he could like do his job properly. I thought that was a very bold move for a young fucking pretty green officer at the time, right? Like lieutenant junior grade. He's like a Boimler. He's a Rutherford, you know.
But see, Rutherford doubts himself a lot.
Yeah, true. No, when Jordy definitely had a lot more confidence.
Even in the one I chose, you know, like that's why I like it's he's also a character that, you know, when everybody's like saying it's blue and he's like, no, it is yellow. You're like, that man is right. I don't know why he's right, but he's right. Like, you believe him because he has such an ingenuity also,
yeah,
that you know he's not making shit up.
Yeah.
Like, if he's saying this way, that it is true, and he knows it. He doesn't know yet how to explain it to you, but he knows it.
I like that. My honorable mention is Timeless. Yeah, because I know. It's my favorite episode of Voyager. Two, you get to see him in the chair. Like, and he has all that confidence that you see from this in a, you know, much more seasoned officer, and he's still got that compassion, right? Like, as I was talking about during the Strangely Loop, right? Like, he is very sympathetic to what Harry and Chakotay are trying to accomplish in that episode, and literally says to them, you know, if I was in your position, I'd probably be trying to do the exact same thing. And I think, like, Chakotay's, you know, and then he says, you know, and he's like, you know, I have to try and stop you. And Chakotay, you know, gives him some quip back. And Geordi gives him, like a legit good luck. Like, he wants him to accomplish their mission. Even though, like, Geordi's future and the future that they live in, I have so many opinions about Timeless, by the way, because
it's a good episode.
Well, people bitch and moan all the fucking time about the prime timeline and what is the prime timeline, right? If you want to talk about, like, really where the prime timeline stopped existing, it was this episode, because Voyager was supposed to get destroyed and they go back and they fuck that up. And then Janeway even does it again. Like,
isn't it like change actually like even earlier in
Voyager
and all that?
Because in Voyager, it's already the copy of Voyager that we have starting like season two, you know, like the original one blew up and they like exchange people. You remember?
Well, we don't know which one.
Yeah, but there's a valid chance that this is the copy.
It's true.
But it's not really like a copy. It's the same exact ship, right? Like, that whole episode was so fucking complicated. But that also wasn't a time issue, right? It was like an issue with subspace.
I mean, a Janeway fucks with time enough to anyway, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. No.
Phased. That's right, Tara. It was the phased version. Yeah. So, anyway.
Oh. Also, Timeless is directed by LeVar Burton.
So not only does it show off his amazing directing chops, which we're really not going to talk a bunch of this episode. LeVar's a great director. But I just loved him in this, and I loved his compassion and the fact that, like, he knew that he was probably his timeline was going to get erased, but, like, he's been in those positions before. So he gets it. Like, he gets it, I think, more than I think a lot of people. Like, he was chief engineer of the Enterprise. Of course he gets it. So I love Timeless. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on it, but
it's hard because I love him in that episode so much. So I think of him when I think of that episode.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I constantly joke because he was captain of the Challenger, which was a Galaxy class starship. And I'm a little mad that the star drive section of the redone Enterprise D and Picard was the Syracuse and not the Challenger. I think that would have been a really nice throwback, but anyway, I'll rest my case on that. We're going to move on to the next episode, unless anybody has more on mine.
No, I'm like looking at like the episode of Star Trek that he directed, and there are very good episodes. And then there are some Enterprise episodes that are not good.
That's not his fault.
That's not his fault. That is.
Like Extinction, I'm like, oh, that episode was so bad.
I mean, you get hired for a job, you gotta.
Yep.
Fair enough. But he directed Bar Association on Deep Space Nine, which is a great episode.
Tara's throwing punches in the chat, by the way. Timeless is a great JC episode, which I know no one else cares about. I'm a JC shipper. Stop that. I care, Tara. I care.
We care. We do.
Yep.
He directed the Pegasus episode.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, I love that episode so much.
He's a great director.
And Q2. Wow. Yep. Okay. Rules of Engagement. That's like, these are like cool
bangers.
Episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Who wants to take MC's episodes, and she's not here tonight, but we should definitely talk about it.
I can definitely talk about that. Her pick tonight for best Geordi was Iborg, which was, you know, I really wanted to pick that one on that, but I thought, you know, just, you know, I'll pick something else. I'm the TNG dude in the group, so you know, she identified with that. But now that we get to talk about it, is a fantastic Geordi episode. And that, as we know, you know, as all of we've seen the episode, and that they come across a lone surviving Borg of a cube crash. The Borg is taken on board the Enterprise. It's kept under heavy security, but Geordi is the one in charge of feeding Hugh and accommodating him and running tests and that, and begins to form a bond with a Borg, which is something we'd never, ever expected to see in Star Trek. And that after encounters with the Borg and that we didn't think was possible. But Geordi finds a humanity in him. And I think that's a theme with Geordi that it kind of continues on, right? It's very well established in TNG and that, as Eric and I said, he always saw the best in people. And it is through Geordi that the plan to return the Borg back with a viral infection that could wipe out the rest of the collective is basically walked back. Basically through Geordi advocating for this Borg. And it's one of the best examples of him as a character.
It is.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jonathan Delarco was absolutely amazing in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really was. It's so funny when it comes to this episode, it's like this and Tuvix, right? Are the, like, should they have or shouldn't they have? And I'm always like, oh, this is, because I feel like I'm the cold-hearted bastard on the show. Like, if I was John Luke, like, I would have gone through with it. Like, I, you know, especially, like, in that position, you still don't know, like, that you could de-assimilate people. Like, I probably would have, like, had them upload the virus. But then, like, Hugh, and then, I don't know.
The needs of the many.
The needs of the many, yeah. I mean, then again, there's millions of Borg, so it's so hard, right? Because the Borg, yeah, it's hard.
I mean, isn't it like the same plot with Janeway and Ishab? Like, she's supposed to send him back with a virus, you remember? Like, when they found Ishab?
Weren't they sick?
They were sick, and she wants to send them back so they can, like...
Yeah.
Like
destroy spread
the virus, yeah, or something like that.
I think she even brings up John Luke in that episode.
I don't remember that, but I remember it's like kind of a parallel plot, and she doesn't go with it through it either, because Seven, I mean,
yeah,
there's Seven. Yeah. But yeah, it's interesting that even if if Janeway doesn't know it, like, come on, you know, Picard is not gonna do it.
Yeah. But Draft, you're absolutely right. Like, Jonathan Delarco puts in a really amazing performance in this episode. Anybody else on iBorg?
No, it's a beautiful episode.
It is. It is. I know we're talking about Geordi this week, but I also thought that Patrick Stewart put in a hell of a performance in that episode as well. Like, dealing the moral conundrum.
And I think it's also the first episode, and correct me if I'm wrong, where we see the Borg as also former humans.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, damn, that's a person, you know? And I like the fact that TNG, it's season 5, right? Yeah, it's just before the next phase.
Yeah,
the one
it's
just
literally
before the next
right,
phase. Yeah. It took a long time, I feel, in TNG to humanize the enemy. Because the Borg is a very easy enemy to just be, like, you know, a good enemy to shoot, basically. They're not people. And I feel it's always very dangerous when you have enemies that are not people, because it kind of justifies a lot of war crimes. I'm rewatching the Clone Wars, of all things, and, you know, like, the number of war crimes they commit in that show, because it's all droids, and you're like, yeah.
The Jedi were so corrupt at that point. It's oh, man.
I mean, I'm like still in season 2 or something like that, and literally the game between Anakin and Ahsoka of counting their kills. Like, when they're droid, you're like,
right,
it's droids. But then sometimes it's like people, and you're like,
but also droids have a weird history in Star Wars, because they don't really know how they work. They're just sort of like, magic-ish and they sort of have souls and they sort of don't.
And they're a person, basically. There's a, yeah. there's a person.
Yeah, there. They can suffer. They torture them. Yeah. They remember people. They love people. You know, they're people. Yeah. They're 1,000 Roger
this
people.
Is
like, come on.
A really good time to plug David Mack's new book coming out in a week and a half, Firewall, which is a 7 of 9 story. And it talks a lot about the PTSD of being a drone. Exactly, Hawk.
You know, there's like this good, this interesting shift in TNG where also at the beginning, like, for example, the Romulans are the big bad villain, you know, like they're like, which like they are, but, you know, but then you have the defector and you have that whole question, like, damn, like he's a person with a family. Maybe he's lying, but maybe he's not, you know, and they start having more and more these conundrums about humanizing the enemy, which, you know, it's always the easy thing in a war when you dehumanize the person you're shooting at. Yeah. And that's what I really like about Iborg, because, and also about Picard season one, is that conversation about what do you do about the person who has become a drone. You see it in Voyager also when they get like, it's that double episode where, you know, they realize that drones actually dream. And when they dream, they're the
Unimatrix.
Yeah. And I really like when Star Trek goes like into these questions. Yeah.
A lot of people in the chat right now are talking also about how Geordi basically helped change Guinan's mind, which was a huge deal because, you know, just as much as Jean-Luc, if not more, I mean, listen, like the Borg are the reason that the Ellurians are an endangered, you know, endangered people. And she changes her tune by the end of this episode. Thanks a lot to Geordi. And that's huge because Guinan was right there with Picard at the beginning of this episode and throughout, like Geordi just kind of, he's like, he is very much the like angel on the shoulder being like, this is wrong. This is a person. And he has, like, he has rights and he has feelings and yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird. Cause it's like, he had as much right, you know, or, you know, right to be, you know, suspicious or terrified of the Borg as anybody. He was right there in that during, you know, rescuing Picard and that. He knew the stakes and what this enemy could do to them and that. But he was really the first one who's just started to interact with it.
Yep.
Like, you know, with Hugh as a person, you know, it was like, he wasn't afraid of it and that. It's like Guinan was afraid to do that until Geordi basically called her out on it and that. And he called up and then she ends up calling up Picard on it and that, meet with him and talk to him, see if he's still a Borg and that. And it's like, if you think so, then send him off to his death and that with that virus in him and that, but not until you actually talk to him. Yeah. And again, that's one of the questions, that's one of the qualities of LaForge that always shone through in the series.
I think that's a good point also to speak about the totally unequal writing of Geordi in TNG.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have an episode where he's like advocating for the feeling of a Borg and like, you know, being right. And then there's an episode, you know, I don't remember the, is it Genesis? I don't remember where he's like absolutely set on firing Barclay and like he hates his guts and he's like, like being a awful person. And you're like, holy shit, Geordi, he's a person. I know he doesn't do his job very well, but like he's so annoyed by him all the fucking time. And you're like, how is that guy like so Geordi, into?
Yeah, sorry, Jordan.
He definitely put in the most work into Barclay as far as like anybody. You know, he tried to emphasize be his friend and that. You know, I know he wanted him out, but like he puts in the work.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's kind of a dick.
I feel like people that annoy him, he becomes dickish towards.
Yeah,
him.
We're gonna talk about that, Relics. Yeah.
He does.
I mean, fair. Yeah. Fair. I get annoyed by people sometimes. But Booby Trap. Like, let's talk about like terrible episodes for Geordi where, you know, you're like, is that the same person?
Right.
Oh, this is the best of Geordi.
Sorry?
This is the best of Geordi.
No, but you know, I feel Picard is pretty even as a character. I feel Beverly is pretty even as a character also. Like, you know, how she would react to things. I don't know about Data for sure. Like, you know, they are like very, very strong characters. And when they react to things, you usually, you know, how they're going to react, you know, ish. And I feel Geordi, there's a lot of upside down. Like, sometimes you feel he's written by somebody that never watched one episode of TNG ever.
Yeah.
Of what Geordi was or who he is, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He
was kind of dickish to Scotty.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, he really was. Draft, why don't you keep going? It is your turn, your episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so thank you to everybody who decided to hang me for not choosing the enemy. I feel like I'm becoming too predictable. And they were like, she's going to choose the Roman episode. Well, psych, I chose another.
And this is what your ass says to you.
Just shut up.
Exactly. I mean, okay. I'm going to say honorable mention to the enemy. Everybody wanted to take the enemy, and then nobody took the enemy. So, I mean, it's a good episode. Let's start by the enemy. It's a good episode where we see again that same, how would you say that?
Empathy?
Empathy. Thank you.
It's okay. Keep going. Hawk's going to keep coming in and out. He's got bad internet tonight.
The same empathy that Geordi has for people that maybe doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Like, right away, he's like trying to save the Romulan. He's like trying to understand what's going on and so on. And I really like this, that I feel he's always trying to understand people. Like, he's trying to understand machines, you know? Always these, like, there's something bugging it and I will find what it is. And
yeah,
then 100%. I will make them right, you know? Or I will understand the system and I will adapt myself to the system. So, it's a very beautiful episode. Yeah.
It is very good. I actually think one of the best parts of the enemy is the very end of the enemy when they beam onto the bridge, right? And Geordi was like, this dude was fine. And the Romulan is like, it's not Stockholm syndrome, right? But like this, like even the Romulan's like, this Federation motherfucker did nothing wrong to me. Like, he was perfectly fine.
Chill.
I wasn't harmed. He was chill. Everything's cool, Tomalak. Everything's cool. I really like that scene.
Yeah. But yeah, I chose the next phase because I wanted also kind of a fun episode. And I feel like the next phase is deep. It's fun. There's a good suspense. There's a weird ass Romulan shooting disruptors on the Enterprise. There's Ghost. It's also a Die Hard episode. So there's a lot of things I love in that episode. First of all, I love the premises in TNGs that are always totally whack. Like, that opening of Riker just beaming into a Romulan ship and basically stealing their engine while nobody's understanding what's going on is absolutely epic. And, you know, my one of my other favorite episodes of TNG is Remember Me.
Oh,
and I feel like
yeah.
It's kind of a parallel episode.
It is, and yeah.
And it's very interesting to see, of to all people, Roel Aaron and Geordi LaForge becoming ghosts on the Enterprise and the two totally different approach to it. So, you know, Bev in Remember Me is, if there's nothing wrong with me, there's something wrong with the universe, right? And I feel Geordi is kind of the same, as the same approach. It's like, I'm still here, I'm still thinking, I'm still breathing, I'm still happening, so I'm not dead.
Yeah.
When Roel is like, we're dead, man, we're dead.
Roel's ready to go with the prophets, right?
Roel is like, let's say goodbye. Let's go. Like, she's ready for the next phase, like, literally. When, like, Geordi's like, no. I'm going to find a solution. And I really like this very methodical approach that he has to everything. It's like, I'm going to find a solution because there's a problem. So I'm going to create the solution. And that whole thing with Data, he's like, come on, trust your gut. You know I'm here. And I feel that this back and forth where they go back to the Romulan ship and try to come back, it's great because you have like the two versions of the stories. And it's also a question of grief. Like that conversation in the shuttle between with Worf is like so beautiful.
Yeah.
And how Roel is also trying to know what Riker was gonna say, and she doesn't know what he's gonna say. So that this whole thing of how would people react to my sudden disappearance? And I feel that it's great that Geordi gets to see it and to see how much he's loved and how much his friend cares for him. And the fact that they throw a party is, even again, Ro is like, we're dead, and they're like having fun. And he's like, no, that's great.
Can I interrupt you for a second on that? I will say, even though Geordi may think that's great, this whole crew deals with grief in a super fucked up way. Like, well, every time someone dies, they are just like moving on way too fucking quickly. And it really bothers me. Sorry. Like, Geordi, oh man, yeah. No, like, but yeah, party for Geordi. I like that.
I like that Picard is like, no, we need to go. Like, there's like a diplomatic crisis, yeah, right? Like, fuck the funeral. Like, damn, dude. It's your chief engineer.
The flagship just keeps going.
Yeah, but like when they see them like phasing, I like that nobody's like that phased. They're just like, Picard's like, you saw that too, right? And they're like, yeah, yeah. Well, most probably they're not dead. I'm like, damn, like, you guys are like fast.
Does when they come back in, am I making this up? Does Geordi say something like, sorry, we're late to the party or something? Is there that line? Or am
sorry, we're late to the party. Yeah. When he's like lying on the floor, like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I feel it's again an episode where we see Geordi's ingenuity of trying to figure things out. And that's a brain I love. That's, you know, the approach to something horrible. Like, you know, Ro is just like, so long. She's out. I mean, she does kick like a Romulan into space.
Yeah.
And we don't know if that guy is still going. Is he dead? Like,
he's
can you
out
die?
Of fate. Oh, no. Oh,
maybe
no.
He's not dead. Maybe he's just like going with like peanut hamper into space. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
That's horrible.
Did Hawk? Oh, he did.
Yep.
There's a flowing, floating Romulan. Like,
oh, man.
So, that's why I chose the next place. I think it's a very fun episode.
It's
to
a great
watch
episode.
And more role Aaron for everything. Oh, actually, rewatching it, there's this moment where she starts talking to Picard and he cannot hear her. And it's a good parallel to watch before watching her episode in Picard.
Oh.
Yeah, because she tells him, like, you don't know, but you know, you helped me a lot or something like that. And basically, you see that she's trying to speak to him because she knows that she thinks she's dead at that moment and that she will never get to speak to him and tell him what he brought her and how it influenced her. And when I rewatched it, I was like, damn, that's such a good segue to her episode in Picard where she tells him finally what she wanted to say.
Dude, that episode of Picard is just, so fucking good. That episode's fun, and you know what, like, it's heavy. It's like heavy, like, because there's also some good comedic bits in that episode too.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you know, 1000%.
Yeah
when they run through the ensigns like quarter, yeah. And then people in like their
yeah.
Towels, yeah. Or like just like exercising, you know, it's the kind of thing I love.
Beefcake guy like, wasn't there though from Lower Decks. Beefcake towel guy should have
been
there. Yeah,
no,
there.
There's just like a girl in there, her towel, so that's her towel. But no, and I also love the Romulans, just like they're hanging by a thread and they're like, we're gonna blow up the Enterprise. Like, dude,
now's not the time. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great episode to watch.
It is. It is. Anything else on these guys? Good. Eric, let's talk about Geordi being a dick to Scotty.
Geordi's being a dick to Scotty, and then they become friends. That's this episode. This episode is one that I love it. I love it because it has two amazing engineers at the sort of the forefront. Basically, what happens is that the Enterprise enters this sector of space that apparently has not been visited in 75 years. 75 years? I feel like that's right. And then they find...
Yeah, that's 75 years.
Then they find a Dyson sphere, which, you know,
cool.
Giant machine. Very cool. And they find a ship that's just sort of floating there. So they go on and they find in the buffer of the transporter, which is in an emergency mode, something like that. Like they find two signals. They bring the first one back, and it's Scotty. So Scotty tries to save the second person. Not good enough. So what happens throughout the episode is Scotty's trying to relate with everyone on the ship, right? He's a man at a time. So he wants to be helpful because he's an engineer. He wants to not just sit around. He wants to help Geordi. And Geordi's in his dickish phase in this episode where, you know, he's like, this old man's gotta fuck off for a bit. Like, I'm doing stuff. And he keeps on trying to, and I can't teach you everything. He literally says that to Scotty.
Scotty, Montgomery fucking Scotty. Like,
yeah.
He invented your job.
Yeah. Yeah. He wrote the manual. He literally says that later. So Scotty on the outs, like he's feeling it, you know, down, goes to the holodeck and goes to his Enterprise, which is not the A, not the B, not the bloody D. his first Enterprise. And he has this amazing chat with Picard about, you know, the first ship that they fall in love with and how it's never the same. Then that's the one you always want to come back to. And it's such an amazing scene between these two. I know we're talking about Geordi, but we'll get to him eventually. What I love is that Picard ends up getting Geordi to bring Scotty to the ship to, you know, get some sensor logs on the Dyson Sphere. And he's like, you know, some people just want to feel like they're useful, right? And Scotty can definitely be useful. And through this little sequence of them trying to figure out how to get the Enterprise out of the Dyson Sphere, like they become these amazing friends, or they seem like really good colleagues, and they play off each other and their knowledge. And, you know, Geordi starts to lighten up a bit, like we see him so often in the past. And at the end, we see these two engineers exchanging stories, and it's sort of how I pictured if Shaw had the chance to chat to have with that, Geordi. Yeah. Like, that's what it would have been like. It would have been them being peers and just being like, oh yeah, that's awesome. You did that. Yeah, you did that. And then they give Scotty a ship to go and explore, a short range ship.
Where the fuck is he going to go on a short range ship in the middle of nowhere? Again, it's a place in space. Nobody has been there for 75 years. Get a short range ship. What do you mean?
Okay. What? They were obviously putting him out to pasture. Come on.
It's like, go get lost.
There can only be one engineer of the Enterprise.
Oh my God.
That being said, I really like the play between Geordi and Scotty, especially at the end, like them going through their full like prowess of engineering skill. It's such a cool sequence. Seeing Geordi, you know, sort of calm down after being so empathetic in these previous episodes we talked about. Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird that he doesn't nerd out.
Well, you know okay. I mean?
So I wanted to ask.
I have opinions on this. I have opinions on everything. I have opinions on this. I think
surprising.
Oh, shocking. I have two differing opinions. My first opinion is that Geordi knows that Scotty is a legend. Right? Mm-hmm. He probably does want to nerd out, but instead puts his shields up, right? Because he's the chief engineer of this Enterprise, right? And he doesn't need some legend who everybody thought was dead until now telling him what to do in his engine room. So Geordi turns on dick mode, which I get a little bit, right? Like, this is his ship. Like, this is his baby.
But baby bear, you do what you want. We want you to be happy.
Yeah. Geordi has... Some issues he needs to talk over with.
He has his ways of doing things, and I feel like even like with Reggie, like if things get out of sorts, he's just like, fuck off. I need to do this right.
I don't think that Geordi is the most patient person in the world. I think that I don't even think it's a character flaw. Like sometimes I would say, especially in engineering, like you can't dick around in engineering, right? Like you're always like one step away from a fucking warp core overload, right? Like go ahead, Draft.
You kind of see it in Picard when he's like, he has no patience with Picard. He's like,
yeah,
no, you know?
Yep. No, like really though. Like he's like, you brought my daughter into this, dude. Like not that that was a good character trait for Geordi either, but my other different opinion, and this could be a little controversial, is that maybe and just maybe the Jim Kirks and the Montgomery Scotts, Spock not included because everybody always fucking talks about Spock, but this crew, after the events of Undiscovered Country, even though they saved the world, are already like the history books have talked about Jim Kirk's racism towards the Klingons, and Scotty wasn't exactly like notorious for being very welcoming to Klingons either. Like
he murdered some women, you remember?
And
that?
He murdered some women. Like I wonder.
He was framed.
Yeah, like I wonder if the legend of that Enterprise crew was a little bit tarnished and that they weren't, not every single member of that crew was hero worshipped, which is why Geordi didn't treat him with the respect that we maybe think that he deserves. So those are my two different opinions on that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I like it. But then you see the crew of DS9 when they get into the Enterprise.
I know. They're like, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
Like well, Cisco, I mean, he's like fangirling.
One of the Dax has slept with Bones, so you know.
Yeah, and the current Dax is trying to get Spock, and I'm like, you go, girl.
Oh, so yeah. Anyway, anything else on Relics?
Apparently, the novelization for Relics is really good, says Kung.
Nice.
I've never read a novelization. Oh, no. I read So City on the Edge of Forever.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Yeah.
It's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Hawk, what were you going to say?
Basically, it's a weird contrast, Geordi's attitude towards Scotty in this episode versus Eric's honorable mention. I'm not going to mention right now on that, but, you know. Different sides, right? You know, because we think, oh, Geordi doesn't fanboy over anybody in that, but we know that's not true. So I'm thinking
he fanboys over what's her face,
Leia
Brahms,
and Zefram Cochrane.
Yeah. Speaking of Zefram Cochrane, my honorable mention is his First Contact. I know it's not an episode, but it's a
no. It's totally
a big
fits.
Episode.
Yep.
Yes.
I just love him in this movie. Like he's so cool. He has his eyes in, and we get to see him fanboy out, like Hawk was saying to Zefram Cochrane.
You told him about the statue,
and you're holding your hand out. it's one of my favorite sequences. That's my like
a leak. I'm not detecting any leak.
Oh, leak!
Don't you people ever pee in the 24th century?
But they don't. There's no bathroom transport, on the Enterprise.
They transport it out.
Out of the... Yeah. I love First Contact.
Yep.
He looks so good also.
I know.
Like, we didn't speak a lot about how fucking good it looks. I feel in TNG, he was like... He's very 80s, right? I mean, I don't know. And you can see his face a lot with the visor.
There were a lot... When I was doing my research today, there were a lot of complaints about not being like the visor taking up way too much of his face,
because he has beautiful eyes. He has like beautiful, like, you know, like piercing eyes, and it's most probably when I met him, this is like what like surprised me the most. Like he has like such kind and like attentive eyes, and behind the visor you don't get this. And it's written in First Contact. I think he starts with the we see him without the visor in Generation. Insurrection.
First Contact.
Yeah, but also in Insurrection.
Yeah, in
right?
each movie moving forward.
The Insurrection was the first time we'd seen Geordi without a visor or like mechanical eyes.
In your episode.
That's true.
In the interface, it's his real eyes. Yeah.
But it's so smoky and dark in those hallways. You barely get to see his eyes.
I know.
And you know, we heard a lot of Brent Spiner. I mean, we heard a lot of Brent Spiner, but we heard a lot of how difficult it was to play his role with the paint and the contact lenses that he was wearing, that he didn't see anything, and that, you know, most of the time he was acting without like knowing what the hell he was doing because he couldn't see anything. But I don't feel I heard as much about LeVar Burton and how he couldn't see anything with that thing on. And he acts all these scenes, he cannot see anything.
Yeah.
And I really like First Contact because we really see him. And I feel there's a lot of acting that goes through the eyes also. So, yeah. And he's such a handsome man. Come on.
I mean, his first line is just like, oh my God, like there are those eyes. Like when he's like, the Enterprise, he's the most advanced starship in the fleet. Like, we're ready. He's like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. We're ready. Let's go. Yeah. No, love First Contact. Hawk, we end with you on episodes tonight, good sir.
Hopefully the internet holds out. But yeah,
for it won't.
The final one.
It's because you said it, Hawk. What the hell is going on?
For the final, final two, but I decided to go with Interface, which is kind of a bit of an unheralded episode of Star Trek and that, but it's one where it's like completely about Geordi and that. He's the star of this particular episode. So I thought it was pretty important. And the fact is he put in an amazing performance in this episode. And particularly because it leans on the strengths of the characters. He's testing out some new equipment. It's an interface which allows him to control a remote drone that goes down into this very atmospherically dense planet that, you know, nobody could really survive in, and that to investigate the crash of a ship called the Romanos. Geordi's basically in that full body suit. He's like, you know, visually there. He can interact with everything there. But the suit's very sensitive. They turn up the limits too much in that, and he ends up getting a very nasty burn across his hands when a sudden fire breaks out. On top of this, when he is informed that the ship that his mother, Captain Silva LaForge, is commanding, the Hera, has disappeared. And it's been a while, and the Starfleet and pretty much the rest of the galaxy is assuming, like, you know, missing and dead, which LaForge doesn't buy. He's not willing to accept it at that point. Riker comes in, offers to take over, the next manned expedition, or, you know, the interface to the Romanos and that, because of what's happening. And Geordi refuses, you know, because he won't accept it. It's like he said, she's missing, that she has gone missing before and that. And it, you know, every other ship in the fleet and that, when they go missing, we don't assume. He's like, until you show me a body, until you show me wreckage and that, I refuse to accept she's gone. And it reminded me a lot about what makes Geordi such a great character is he is one of the most optimistic of the show.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he is an engineer, and engineers are problem solvers, and basically every problem has a simple solution. But he somehow goes beyond that. You know, he has a weird way of applying humanities to his work. And this becomes muddled in the episode, and that because in his next voyage out in the interface, and that he sees an image of his mother asking him for help to help them. It's very cryptic. It doesn't last long, but it's enough to convince him that there's a possibility that his mothership is somehow down in the gas planet, you know, even though they're supposed to be 300 light years away. He comes up with a theory, and it's speculative, but there's just enough evidence to it to, you know, for even Data to say, like, I can't dismiss it outright, but it's near impossible.
Yeah.
But it's still enough for Geordi. He ends up getting back into this interface. He makes contact again without the captain's knowledge. In fact, he risks his life, and the only one helping him is Data, which is so surprising. Like, because Data should have really shut that down, like, to begin with. But he trusted
his best friend, though.
This is his best friend.
I know, and pushing those sensor limits up to 150. At 75%, he got his hands burned from a bad interaction.
Especially, we know that the visor hurts him a lot. There's these episodes where he needs to get it tuned, and he explained that he's always in pain.
Yep.
Which is like,
yep.
It's like always having like a low key migraine for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go on that real quick, Hawk. Like Kang in the chat is saying it's a great episode for that Geordi Data friendship here. Everybody always talks about how Data without the emotion chip doesn't have emotion, which is such bullshit, right? Because Data is totally being emotional in this episode. He lets Geordi manipulate him. And like, not like that, you know, Data couldn't have said no, but he doesn't say no because he's his best friend. And of course, he wants to help
the friendship,
yeah,
right? To get him there. I'll tell you another interaction that was so weird to me. When Geordi's walking around the ship, kind of, you know, with that news kind of hanging over him that his mother is missing, he goes to see Data, you know. And as you said, Data has no emotions at this point, but he's also, you know, he can also intuit at this point. And he intuited that Geordi came in because he wanted to talk about his mother, even though Geordi denies it. And Data goes back to his work and that. And, you know, he's
poetry.
The poetry, the blank space of poetry that goes on for 47 minutes.
Oh, my God.
But Geordi hangs out, and he, you know, swings around the chair. He, you know, because Data invited him to join him in the poetry and that. But in the camera shot, they're framed very closely together, and it's contrast with another shot when Geordi actually goes to Deanna for therapy, and as you can see, him framed off in the distance of the room and that, like, you know, almost very purposely, like far away from Deanna. And I always thought that was really interesting in that. It's another dimension of like his friendship with Data, you know, like as sometimes Geordi wasn't the best with actual people in that, even though this is his crew and his family and he loves them and they love him and that. There were quirks to him in that, you know, and it's like Data always, you know, with Data, the, you know, all of that went away, right? In short, like Geordi makes contact again, finds out the truth of what's happening. You know, it's not his mother. It's aliens that were caught in the wake of the Romanos and like diving, you know, going through the atmosphere and that, dragging them up from the surface. They need to get back down. And even though like his life was in jeopardy and that, and that, you know, figuring out that he had been lied to by these aliens just to, you know, to get home, which, you know, like,
I don't think it was lied to, right? I think it was unintentional. They invaded
his memory and used his mother, yeah.
Yeah, but so I rewatched this actually right before the pod tonight, and I couldn't help but think that the Stranger World Season 2 episode Lost in Translation, I think, relied like very heavily on this episode.
That's exactly what I thought about.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that made me think of that episode also. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very much like the same situation. Like, It's a type of species that can't communicate like in normal terms, so they have to find a different way. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they ended. I know, even though like for him, he should have been furious. It was emotionally manipulative on their part, but again, they had no choice. You know, he still helps them.
And that's
that's that humanity that shines through in that, you know, it's like, he's a great engineer in that, but he never let it stop him being a great human being. And he helps them in that. And it's like, which is why the episode is such, it feels so cold at the end, because basically it leaves him with the fact that his mother is still missing and probably dead. And
I don't like the ending, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of a slap in the face.
They never talk about his mother again after
that.
No,
they don't even ever confirm that she's actually dead. Yeah. Like, they could have had a simple line saying they found the wreckage and like that would have been that. But like, they don't actually ever confirm that she's dead.
There's no closure for it to him.
No.
Great.
It is a great episode.
It's a great episode. Great performance by him. And, you know, it's just reaffirming, like, what a fantastic, you know, character Geordi is and how the layers to it.
Yeah, that's bullshit that we never get to meet his fucking mother. Like, you know how happy I would be to meet Captain Sylvia Forge? Like, who would you cast?
Well, no, we see her in the episode.
Yeah, I know, but it's not like, that's not her, you know?
No, it is. We see her in a recording.
No, yeah, I know, but like... Yeah. Like
yeah, yeah. Oh, you mean like as a recurring character?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Also, you know, it's the kind of thing where I'm gonna bitch a little bit, but I feel like in Picard, I was looking forward to Geordi so much because, like, I wanted updates in these stories. Like, I wanted to know, maybe we're going to have a line on what actually happened to his mother, you know? Things like this. Like, maybe one of his daughter, they're not named after her, no. But, like, you know, like, I was like, there are things where I feel there's a lot of, like, missing pieces for Geordi as a character, and that interface actually adds so much to his story. Like, he's the son of a captain, you know?
And they're a Starfleet family. Like, his father's commander. Like,
Yeah.
Do you remember the conversation with the dad in it?
It was
like the
really
dad
cold.
Was pretty much, the dad was like, you know, okay, we're going to have a private service and that. And he's like, you don't know she's dead yet. And you're already planning on the service.
Well, but it's also Starfleet. Like,
yeah. They move on very quickly in Starfleet.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember they threw a party for him, and then in the middle of the party, they were ready to go. They were like, we have shit to do.
I also, I hella respect to Captain LaForge for being captain of nearly entire Vulcan crew.
And, you know, I always say that I really want Star Trek to actually give us at least one episode. I mean, there is the one with the baseball. What's the name of the episode in DS9?
Take me out to the holosuite.
Take me to the holosuite, where you finally see these crews that are like one species, which they speak about in TOS. In TOS, Vulcan Spock says that the whole Starfleet Vulcan crew was killed by the space amoeba. You know, And that he felt it because they all went off. And I think in Enterprise, then they speak a little bit about like the possibility of like one species in a crew. But then you don't really see them except in DS9, which is like a very special situation because it's Dominion War, and you understand that, you know, during war you would work better with people from the same species. Right. But yeah, imagine like being a human captain of a whole Vulcan crew.
Don't we get a whole Bolian crew in the Lower Deck season 3 finale?
A Bolian crew. The Bolian crew. Yeah. But I feel like I'm very curious about it. Like, are they special? Do they have special missions? Like, how would that work? Like, is that on purpose? I don't know. Anyway, I feel that it's a great episode. But again, the problem with TNG is that it never follows on the stories. And I would have loved in Picard to have a little bit more of Geordi. We have beautiful scenes with Data when, you know, like he thinks he's dead and like all this, like the jokes about the Picard wine being gross, which we all know is true.
It's true.
And and all this, I think, adds so many layers to him. I'm very glad he didn't have a wife, but, you know, I would have liked something about his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lineup thing.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I like about this episode is something I like. One of the few things I like about Star Trek Insurrection is that Geordi and Will are like close friends. Like they are close, and you see a little bit of that in this. And Geordi's a bit standoffish to Will, which I think Will like understands and respects, knowing what's happening. But like, I like that we get a little bit of that because those two are not only friends, they work incredibly well together, which we see later on. Yeah,
they have a great interaction actually in this episode over that. You know, Will telling him the story about like when he was a kid, and even knowing his mom was dead, he would like take those stories his father told him and like pass them off as if they just happened. Or
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and I thought it was touching, especially in this episode, because I don't think Geordi would do this with anyone. He just let Will like watch the recording of his mom like with him, right? Like I'm not sure that's something like you would do with every single one of the crew members, right?
Yeah,
so. Anything else on interface? Do you want to briefly talk about Elementary Dear Data?
I'll try and be brief. It is a great Geordi Data episode. Geordi is fantastic in this. I'm not going to go through the plot of it. And you guys have seen this a million times in that. There's some things like to note, though, in that. That's like with Geordi and Pulaski debating about Data and that, and his ability to, you know, get a real, you know, Sherlock Holmes story and that, you know, like Geordi has always been Data's biggest advocate on the ship, probably maybe even more so than Picard and that, even though you know, measure of a man, blah, blah, blah. But I did love, I always love the interaction between him and Pulaski in that regarding Data and that, because Pulaski's like, he's a toaster. He can't get it, you know? It's like he just fry his circuitry.
God, and Pulaski and Data, Jesus. She was awful. Like, she was so bad.
But that moment when he inputs that command into the holodeck program and that, you know, to create a Sherlock Holmes mystery with an opponent that could defeat Data, it kind of shows you that he forgot Data. He forgets a lot. Data is an android.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, it, you know, it, he understands it, you know, the engineering side of it back and forth and that. But like when he's actually interacting with them, he just forgets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love all the Sherlock Holmes episodes. They're so much fun.
They get to wear costumes.
Yeah. Yes. Fun Victorian costumes. Yeah.
Without the British person
with
on
accents.
The ship.
Oh my God. Geordi's accent is
amazing.
It's a mood. It's a choice. Mood. Choices were made. Yeah.
Let's talk briefly about Geordi in the movies. We did a little bit already. In Generations, he's used as a bit of a plot device, right? He gets captured by Soren. He helps Data kind of like with the emotion chip stuff. Ends up,
I don't want to speak about Generations.
We don't really have to, but I do think it's important to bring up, like, Geordi's dickishness definitely comes out in Generations with Data too, when Data's like telling joke after joke after joke. And Geordi still has the visor on in this movie, but you could still tell at one point he literally gives Data side eye, and it's wonderful. I had to bring that up. But so he's used it as a plot device to get the shields down for the Duras sisters in Generations. First contact's big, right? He flies the first contact mission with Cochran and Will. He tells him about the statue. He tries to run off. Will phasers him. It's great. It's good stuff. Insurrection. Right, he gets to pull a Shax and eject the warp core. But again, I like this because this is very much like Will and Geordi being like. I feel like it's interesting that Will never asked Geordi like to be his first officer. Like that never happened because I feel like that would have been a very good team. I don't know.
My favorite scene in Insurrection is when he watched the sun set.
Oh, yeah. I have feelings about that. I'll talk about those briefly. I think that it was a mistake for them not to let him keep his eyes after that. Like, I think that that would have been a really like big moment for Geordi to finally, like, after all of that time. I know it also gets rid of like what made Geordi like unique to the show, and I'm like, but
it was but I mean, in the story, he was born blind, right?
He was born blind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I actually understand the choice
to have it reverse.
Yeah,
yeah,
because you know that's who he is.
That's who he is. Yeah, and
that's
and
how he sees the world.
Yeah, and I know that there was talk. Apparently, Gene early in the show wanted to have an episode where Geordi went down to an alien planet and basically got like the equivalent of human eyes, and how it actually was like a deterrent for Geordi. Like he missed the visor because it's basically what he knew.
I don't think he missed the visor because the visor hurts him.
No, but the, like he missed, not missed, but I guess he
that
gets,
is who he is. Yeah. That's how he sees the world. Yeah. And I think he says it.
That
in
episode
the, in
never happened. Yeah.
He says it, that it's how he sees the world. Yeah. And that's how he wants to see the world. And I thought it was really beautiful. And I feel we had a little bit of a parallel with Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. We explain that's how he sees the world, right? And yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that moment where you watch the sunset and cry, you know, is like,
yeah,
that the only part of Insurrection I like.
Mm-hmm. I also like that I love the whole battle scene in the Briar Patch and like the Trill that definitely wants to fuck Will.
You guys seem to be forgetting about the HMS Pinafore.
I love that scene too.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. There's some good in Insurrection. It's still not.
There
good,
is a lot good of good movie. In Insurrection. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot of like Insurrection is a lot of like, oh, oh, wait, the Federation is a colonialist power, huh? Yeah. Oh, that's not what it is. Okay, I mean, I knew it, but like that, that's a lot. That's, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
We're going to displace people, like right now. Okay. It's a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he literally does nothing in Nemesis, like nothing.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he just looked cool for the wedding.
Yeah. He got the Beverly treatment, unfortunately. And
I was going to say Nemesis. That, but it felt mean.
But it's true. I mean, Beverly said, like, Gates McFadden says it every convention. I was in those movies.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately for LeVar,
they just look cool in the Marine Navy uniform.
That, I mean, it was, I love those uniforms. Yeah.
This looks so cool.
Yeah. Does anybody else want to touch anything on the films?
Like, there's really not much to talk about as far as Geordi and the films and that, beyond, like, you know, Insurrection, like, you know, in that moment, beyond, like, First Contact and that. I wish they knew how to, like, when they're setting down to tell one story in a 2-hour, they knew how to use every single person that was important, you know, to this cast.
No, but you got to remember that Brent Spiner knows where Paramount's bodies are buried, so he's the focus of every film.
He gets to focus a lot.
I hope someday Will fucking know what file he has and on whom. Like, I need to know. I need to know.
We need to know.
I need to know because I'm if in Discovery, the cameos that we get is fucking Brent Spiner, I'm gonna
imagine if Data's still around in the 32nd century.
I'm gonna fucking lose my mind. I'm gonna lose my mind if it's a fucking song yet again.
Giraffe, there's like a 0.5% part of you that would also be like, holy fuck, that's amazing.
No. No,
that they even did it.
That they had the fucking. Like, I know.
He showed up again in Peacock season 2 as a song. I was like,
and that what? Arc was so bad too. That arc was so
it went
bad.
Nowhere. It was completely useless.
They're running people off with their car. Like, what is happening? If it's possible, it could. Yeah. No, I'm banking on the doctor. If one person is still around, make it the doctor and not Data, please.
I love
Data.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Kang talking about how I was saying that Geordi was going to get humanized. There was a drop story arc in season 2 where Geordi would have given up his visor to get humanized after falling in love with Sonia Gomez. So. Good move that
at least he would have gotten a girl.
He would have gotten girl early on. Oh my god. Let's briefly talk about Commodore LaForge. We see Geordi and Picard has been promoted, has two daughters in Starfleet, continuing the LaForge tradition, by the way, like very much a Starfleet family. Living his best life. He's curator of the Fleet Museum, which is totally a Geordi thing. Of course that's what Geordi did. He also has, I think,
such a nerd.
One of the strongest performances in the season in 308.
For sure.
During the struggle and aftermath between Data and Lore. Thoughts on Geordi and Picard?
I liked him. I thought he was awesome. Seeing him show up, I wanted more of him, and I wanted to see him with Shaw more. But his interaction with Shaw was perfect. The fact that he was refitting the Enterprise D. Of course, that's something he would do, right? Of course,
yeah.
Why wouldn't he? The overprotective father thing. I mean, I think it worked for me. I know it didn't work for a lot of people, but it worked.
You get
for me.
It. You get. I understand. You know where he's coming from.
Well, it's not the overprotectiveness. It's the not trusting his daughter.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like.
Yeah, no, yeah. I understand that too.
Yeah.
Like being protective of your kid. Yeah, but she's also a motherfucking Starfleet officer.
She's an adult too. So at that point, like.
You know, and like, trust your kid. Like,
I'm the crew of a pretty prestigious starship too. Like,
dude, like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like badass, and like she's also like a very well known like pilot. Like she
knows her shit.
She's got a reputation. Yeah.
She has a reputation. I think it's more like not trusting her, and also I think like the what are your intention with my daughter? Like, what does that now?
What century is
my that? First girlfriend's dad?
Yeah, but that was half a century ago. Come on.
It was, oh God,
it's true. She's right.
God damn.
Oh.
Like, are you kidding me? I feel it's not things that like people like our generation or like even the next generation. It's like kind of cringe, you know? Like,
no, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
No, I fucking love Jordy. It's a damn shame that he showed up like half the season.
Episode six. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Episode fucking six. Yeah, I thought it was five. So
it's like, too late. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so late. It could have shown up like episode three and it would have been like great. Like, why so late? But yeah, I loved him. He looked so damn fucking good.
Dude, he's a fine man.
That man is aging like fine wine. Like, damn. I love the fact that we didn't know who was his wife because like, I feel there would have been a lot of discourse around it.
Picard season three would have been looked at a whole lot differently if his wife was Leia Brahms. Let me just say.
Yeah. Like,
I'm glad they were like, yeah, maybe let's not like, you know, open that Pandora's box. Yeah. But yeah, again, his ingenuity, his empathy, but also his dickishness. Everything was there. It's just too bad. It was not enough.
Yeah.
And one more thing. What the fuck didn't he say anything to Data about his daughter? Like, I wanted more, like, you know, catching up. Like, them being like, I have so many things to tell you, you know? Like, he died and came back, you know? I don't know. It's his best friend. Like, anyway. I could have watched way more.
I love that Geordi gets the chair at the end in the finale, right? Like, he's captain of the Enterprise D while Jean-Luc's on the cube, right? It's such a great moment, right? Because he deserves it, dude. Like, he deserves to be in that chair after everything he's done for the ship. It's like, and I don't know if it was intentional on Terry's part. I want to say it is because I know Terry's a giant TNG nerd, but like, I want to say it's maybe a bit of a callback to Arsenal of Freedom. Like, season one, he's in command. Literally, last time you're probably ever going to see Geordi, he's in command. Cool little throwback moment. Love it. Love it. Anything? Sorry, Hawk. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you guys have covered everything. Like, it's what we got was, you know, LaForge, you know, and everything we loved about him and that. Just not enough of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Anything else, folks? Anything else? Is it mailbag time? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hailing frequencies open.
And let's see. So, Hawk, you technically went last with the episodes. That means it's back to the top. I'll do the first mailbag. It's me. I believe it's Chris's. Yes?
Yep.
Yes.
Chris wrote, picking a favorite moment from a character that was so profound is an arduous task. I really enjoyed him showing everyone the rebuilt D in Picard. By the way, that jab to, you know, Worf about the E. A fellow nerd showing off his prized model, but truly his empathy, his friendships, his refusal to be less even when at a disadvantage. This is what makes Geordi himself a favorite moment of Trek in general for me. I wanted to be him so bad as a kid. I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. On to you, Giraffe, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gentle Giant Zero wrote, there's a moment from The Defector in season three when LaForge explains Data about feeling and human judgment that I always liked.
Yeah,
The Defector is a good episode.
That's a good, that's a great episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's another good Romulan episode.
Listen, and don't make the rules.
It's true. It's true. And I believe Eric, yes, Trouble 2.0, please.
Trouble 2.0.
Okay.
I think my favorite moment has to be in Picard when Lore takes over Data and Geordi talks about his friendship, death, and love. I've always loved their friendship. This is This was such a full circle moment and powerful show of just how much that friendship has meant to him.
Very nice. Very nice. And Hawk, you take Matt Harker's, please.
Sure. Matt Harker wrote, Jordy has always struck me as the underdog you're always rooting for. The growth of his friendship with Data was one of the low-key backbones of the series and films, all the way through to Picard. To see his personal triumph in the form of both his daughters and the restored Enterprise D brought a tear to many an eye. From Lieutenant JG to Commodore, Geordi's character arc over 35 years is one of the most fulfilling in all of Trek.
Yeah, I would agree with that, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Back to me, Eric the Red wrote, one of my favorite Geordi moments is his demeanor and ability to convince the Romulan Centurion and the enemy to work together to survive. His nice guy attitude actually did some pretty good inadvertent diplomacy. Yeah, very true. Very true. And there's also this moment from Best of Both Worlds. Obviously, we don't have the GIF, but I will describe the GIF. It's of Geordi rolling under the warp core emergency door, which I believe he also does in Generation. So always good to see Geordi do a little barrel roll. Love it. Love it.
A man of many talents.
A man of many talents in D. Giraffe, take us home, please, with Collins.
Colin D. wrote, I have to jump off this excellent quote from Riker Tattoo, which is Chris. His refusal to be less even when at a disadvantage. We have more than once seen Geordi struggle, yet find a way to be a good human in the face of bad behavior from others. We saw him in Picard Season 3 admit being wrong, change his stance, and do the right thing. This even when it was his daughter at risk. These are the moments that truly make Geordi shine for me.
All right, folks. That, I believe, is going to do it. This was fun. This was really, really fun. Share some for the cruise next week. Who are we sharing for the cruise? Photos. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, the cruise is next week. So if you're going, have fun. Speaking of next week, we're taking a deep dive into a very interesting relationship from Star Trek Lower Decks. We're going to be talking about Commander Jack Ransom and Ensign, or now Lieutenant, Junior Grade, Beckett Mariner. Are they or aren't they? So ethical. That's the question. Are they or aren't they? This is going to be fun. We'll have a watch
list. How does she know he sleeps with his mouth open?
That's what we're going to talk about. That's exactly what we're going to talk about.
Everyone
no
knows.
No bullshit. It's going to be fun. That'll be a fun little episode. That's going to be next week. But for now, we are going to say goodnight. For Eric, for Giraffe, for Hawk, I am Julian. Live long and prosper. Majram, sarcastic Vulcan salute. Good night.
Thanks for beaming into our podcast today. If you want to keep the hailing frequencies open, you can subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. Like what you hear? Put in a good word with Starfleet and leave us a 5-star review.